Good morning. Oh, well, let's see if we can hear a word from the Lord again this morning. Let us first pray. Father God, come to you this morning again, and I just acknowledge that I need your Spirit to guide me through to share this message that you have given upon my heart. Lord, give me words and give me order as I try to share what I need to share, and let it fall upon the ground which you have prepared. And Lord, I thank you that there's a desire in here, in this group, to find you and to serve you. I just pray that we could grow more to be like you and have a true and honest desire to be like you. Even myself, Lord, I pray, help me that I could be a man that truly be willing to be more like you. I pray. Amen. I was thinking on this. Draw out a little bit here. I'm thinking of talking about, I'm not quite sure how to name it, but I thought maybe lifestyle or the treasures of our lifestyle. I was going to share some of that. I'm not quite sure if I'll be able to bring it all clear and understandable, but I'll try. There are different kinds of people, different places, and if we're talking about something, then there's the group that has a knowing about it. And they are guilty. And then there's another group that knows, and they are forgiven. And then there could be also, and then there's also those that don't know. And they have no feelings about it. Simply what I'm just saying is that there can be more categories. I'm not saying that this is maxed out or that I have made a study about it or anything. But I just simply know that I could switch over to Plattdeutsch, German. I could speak here. And then there'd be a handful of them that would know what I've said, but then there'd be another handful that don't know, and you aren't able to have any feelings about what I was saying because you have absolutely no understanding. You just don't know what I was talking about. So let's say if I would have reported a tragedy, something bad happened, then there'd be those that, then guilty wouldn't be the right word, but then there would be those that know about it, that understood German. They would say, hey, that's my uncle, whatever, and then they feel real close. And then there's those that understood, oh yeah, okay. So somebody else died, we don't know who and what and where. But they know, but they're not feeling anything about it. And then there would be those that just have no clue. They don't even know they was talking about anything that was bad or that was good. They just heard me speak in a different language and have no understanding of what was going on. And there are people that way even in our hearts. There are things that we have understanding in our heart because we have experience. It is the language of the heart, I should probably say. Our hearts have different languages, if I could say it that way. If I would share about, I could probably go into details and share about things in my life that some of you have a clear understanding and say, I I don't have victory in that part. I'm guilty. I know what you're talking about. I understand what you're talking about. But I'm guilty. I haven't found victory in that area. And then there could be those that say, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. I know where you're coming from. And I found victory in it. And I'm forgiven. And then there could be those that have just no clue. What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. And they don't have a feeling about guilty or victory or anything of it in there. And what I'm trying to say here is that my message is, I don't know where you will be finding yourself, if that's a common language for you and you have victory in it, or it's unknown, or you don't know what it is, or you know what it is, you have a clear witness in your heart that, yes, I understand what you're talking about and I'm guilty. I don't know where this is going to find you. But I was wanting to share about treasures and about lifestyle, and I'm not quite sure how to pull it all apart, but there was another thought I was having, thinking about lifestyle, and lifestyle includes money or the way of living, if we're living rich or if we're living poor. There are many different levels of money levels, I should say. Just to draw some levels here. Here's a level and another one and another one. And let's say these are the rich, the richest of all rich. And these are the very poor. There somehow I would like to draw a picture. My message is not preaching and condemning one or the other, because the Bible does not. But I would try to have a message to the heart, to what I was saying, the language. I would like us to understand what is our heart talking, or what are we talking in our heart, or what do we understand in our heart. I would like to come to that ground. I don't know if I will find my way down there. I will try, but I'm not sure if I'd be able to come down to a heart level that we could talk about things that we understand. One thing we don't need to worry about, I would say 99% of whoever is in this room is absolutely up here somewhere in this area. So we don't need to worry about if we're the poor guys or not. If we're talking about the rich, I'm very rich. I'm a very rich man. So we don't need to worry about who's the poor guy or who's the rich, what is the treasure in our life? That's that's the question I would like us to look at. What are we treasuring in our life? We could say that we all have a star of hope, or what should I say, a future, a vision, or if we would get there, then we got there where we would have wanted to go. How would I explain this? Well, I do know that the small boys, they sometimes think, oh, if we would have a big farm and we could milk, oh, I don't know, 100 cows, and we would have the newest tractors that are in the market for today, we would have them. We would have enough that we all could drive one plus a little bit more. And then if we would be there, then we got there. And I think all of us, we have something that is on our heart. If we would get past this bill, and then there, and there, and then we would be there. We probably have it unconsciously in our heart, probably do not have it consciously written out that, yes, this is what I'm striving for. But I think there's something there that makes us run through our life. Are we really wanting to get there where we're running to? The other part of the question that I was trying to bring out. Are we really going there where we are wanting to go? Matthew 5, verse 40. I can read from 38 to through 42. Ye have heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloth also, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. The part that I'm trying to pull out of here is more that if I have something, and then somebody asks of me, and then would I? In my treasure of my heart, in my lifestyle, would I then be willing to give that what is asked and give the other? That's my question. Would I do that? I'm not sure if I would or if I really do that. But that's the question. Would I be willing to go the second mile? If somebody asks me of going one, would I have that attitude? Would I have that in my heart that I would be willing to give that what is needed plus another one? Would I be willing to do that? Is that something that is common in my life, that if somebody asks me of something and I say, oh sure, I'll do that plus I'll do something more for you because there's this Christ living in me. I have that in me. I'm willing to go the second mile because I'm a Christian. I've been seeing that in the world, there are in Belize, let's just put them down here, they are still rich, but not the poorest of all poor. But to me, they'd be poor people. Then, not Christians, but they be living together, and then they find one of their friends going through a crisis, and they're having a hard time. And all the friends, they come together and they share their baby clothes, and they share their Pampers, and they share their little cash money. And then once this friend goes on a bit, then they all go back to their own life, and they keep on living again. And then if somebody else comes by, and then they push in a little bit, and that's the first mile. And now, are we going the second mile? Does our lifestyle have that in our heart, that we're willing to go the second mile? How about the first mile? Jesus, or now, I'm not sure who it was. I was looking for the scripture, but I didn't find it as quickly as I wanted to. But I think it's Jesus saying that if you have two, then give one. Then give one away. If that is true, is Jesus trying to trick us or telling us a lie, or is Jesus trying to tell us something for real? What is he trying to say us? If I have two, then give to the other one the one that I have extra, like the second one. Now, for me, it's kind of hard to understand what is that, what they're talking about. What is Jesus trying to say here? If I have two, give the other one one. Does this mean that if I have two cars and my neighbor has zero and we are coming and sit down on the same benches here, then I'll give him one car and I'll have one car and we drive both one? Is that what it means? If I have two carts full of groceries and the other one has zero, then I'll give one cart to him and I'll keep one. Is that what it means? What does that mean? What does Jesus mean by if I have one, if I have two, give another, give the other, give one to the one that doesn't have? To be honest, I used to live in a lower lifestyle. I don't know where I could draw myself. I wasn't really poor, but somewhere there. But I had sometimes only a couple dollars in my pocket. Often, most of the time, I had only a few dollars in my pocket. And to me, then it was not a problem to give them away. It was absolutely not a problem. If I had $5 in my pocket, or if I had $10 in my pocket, it was not a problem to give somebody that came around and begged for money. Well, obviously, you probably wanted as much as me, so here, you have it. Have $10. To me, I was so often empty anyways that it didn't make a big difference if I was empty today or not. So if you want it, if you're empty, well, it's just a matter of switching back and forth. Who's empty? It's me or you. And it didn't really matter that much because... So if we're coming lower in this, switching up and down seems like it's much easier if we're up here in this high, in our treasured lifestyle. We just don't have anything to switch around just like that for barely a thank you. Where is our heart? I'm not trying to... today I consider myself living up here, right? I'm living with you because we are simply very rich, I think. And now I want to turn just a little bit and talk a little different area, and that is the scripture talks about being content in godliness. That's a great blessing, a great gain. Oh, I lost my scripture where I was having that. But does anybody, is anybody able to help me where the scripture says that being content and godliness is great gain? Or? First Timothy 6. Okay. I knew I was in Timothy while I was studying, so maybe it was there. 1 Timothy 6, let's look at it. Maybe that is that. Yeah, 1 Timothy 6 is it? It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Let's think about that. It says very obvious, that we came in with nothing in the world, and we are going to go out with nothing. There's two balances there. That's how we're going to go. That's how we came, and that's how we're going to go. If we're not content, has to do all with the measures up there, that we're looking up somewhere beyond, and that makes us uncontent, isn't it? I think so, that is true. And if we're really struggling with financial situations or whatever, it's probably a matter that we are having our star that I was talking about, or our hope star, set up on a higher level than what we can reach. And that is only within our heart, a heart issue problem, isn't it? If we are nothing, and we're going to be nothing, and then we somehow have lifted up our mind so high that we are not content and we're really struggling and fighting our life, probably has to do with something like that. Jesus says that if we have clothing and we can dress ourselves and we have food, then we should be content. Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21, Jesus talks about treasures in heaven. Lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is talking about something very good. It encourages us from the bottom where we start to put up our treasure somewhere where the moth doesn't get to it and the rust. And this is the good news. This is the good news. And that is that from here to here, in any category, in any level where you are in your life, you can do that. You can do that. You can, from the bottom of your heart, lay up treasures up there in heaven from where, whichever level you are. That's a good part. We don't need to get up here to do that. And I have filled myself to do that at times. If I would have this and if I would have that, then I would be able to serve the Lord much better. And that's a trick. That's not true. I don't think so. Although I believe that tools are tools for the kingdom of God. I'm not trying to take that away. There's another thought. I don't know where does this settle, but up here, I really love to support the missionaries down here, because then I can support much more. I can support 30 people much better than up here, my level. If I want to support one, I'm getting stuck. But if I can serve downwards, then I'm much better off. That's our mentality. That's what we're thinking. I mean, I do. Now I can have 5 missionaries out there for the little money that I do give, and we're mighty in the kingdom, working good things. I'm not saying that's not true. I'm just trying to find where is our treasure, where do we have our heart, what is our lifestyle doing to us. Now, let's say if that is true, that I can serve downwards. Yeah, I can do that, but sideways. Just a thought to throw in there. I'm not quite sure if the Bible talks a whole lot about our brothers elsewhere, but beside us. It's much more focused on living Christ-like where we are, right? The New Testament talks much more about living godly present, living godly where you are. Now, if I feel ugly, well, this is how I would sometimes feel, and I'm not, and this is where I'm trying to say. Now, if you don't know about it, then you don't have no feelings, and if you know about it, whatever, I mean, you know where you are. But now, for myself, I have no problem to. Drive a nice car. It's not that I do, but it's very nice to compare to some other cars I know. Now, if I'll drive a very nice car and I'm supporting my brother, and I'll say, okay, I'll take a third world country vehicle. I drive a nice Toyota pickup, and I have my my brother that I support as a missionary beside me. I give him what could I use out there? Aston, maybe Chevy. Might not be that good. Aston Chevy, it rattles much easier, falls apart much easier than a Toyota does. This one is a couple years newer. This one is a couple years older. He's the one that goes out into the villages to visit the people. I am the one that just drives around in the nice roads. But I have the good truck, and he has the poor truck. Really? Okay. So, just a question, where is my treasure? How do I look at life? Do I look at life as, well, really, this person presents Jesus Christ, that's a heart there, okay, heart, that presents my heart for Christ to have the kingdom of Christ grow, right? So this is what I'm showing. I'm showing that. And just and it's been coming through often that we have people here and they say, oh no, our pants, they start to get holes. We'll just give them over to the guy that is serving. And then they give us some pants that are patched. And they say, oh, they can last. They can patch them a few more times and they'll last. And the thing is, then we have to find more guys to come and patch the patches to keep us going. I mean, sometimes it has been working differently. Now I'm saying more. Been here for a bit there. I know how it is. If we get the old stuff, we have to waste our time getting the old stuff going, and we can't be really out there if they would consider this, then they would try to give the best out there that they could move forward and get the job done, right? Where are our treasures? How are we? What is our star that we're looking at? Are we hoping to be able to? This could be in many of your heart, really, that you are having a dream. Now I'll try to do this, so that I could have this wonderful, pretty good running van out there that does the runs. You can run, try to get this out there so Christ could drive this car around and help the people. You could really have that in your heart. And maybe many of you do have that in your heart. I'm not trying to pull that strings around who has not and who has not, who has and who hasn't. That's not what I'm trying to talk about. I'm just trying to say, what is our heart? Where are we with our lifestyle treasures? Where are we? How are we balancing our life? Uh, in world levels of being poor or rich, we have arrived already because we are in the rich level. Although, if we drop all of that there, and then we'll start a new level for ourselves, only from this category, we can start here again. Then there's the poor and a little richer, and then it comes up. And we can be in this category racing real hard and wasting our life and trying to become richer of the rich already. We can waste our life trying to run the ladder in that area. And if that is what our treasure is, and you are getting there, and you have come here, so what do you have gained then? This is a funny question because I hope nobody is there. But let's just say, now if you're running the ladder and you have come to a place that you haven't made, what do you have made? What is it that you have made? Jesus Christ was having a morning star too. What did he do? Jesus Christ was up there, wasn't he? And he created all the big planets. The sun. And more stars. And he even made the world. And people in it. And we were now just talking about little issues up here. We were spending our first minutes here, half an hour, whatever. We were talking about issues down here. But the Creator, Jesus Christ, he came down and humbled himself and he walked among men. And I believe that is what the heart of the church should be. To see if we could step lower, if we could humble ourselves. It does not mean by cutting off money necessarily. But it does say that it'd be very hard for the rich guys to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And it does say that I think 1 Timothy 6 verse 8 talks about what I'm trying to say here. This scripture is somewhat of a joke to us, if we should say, and having food and remnant, let us be therefore content. We are not even thinking about that, barely. That's just a sideline. Maybe there's a few of you that just simply stop and think, what will I eat today? How about I have no jacket? But if I have one and I have food to drink, then that's it. But they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown man in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which well some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And this part here, it says that trying to climb the ladder here in this little world here is very painful. It will pierce your, it says here, it pierces themselves through with many sorrows. And statistics say that there's, 95% of the people that have become rich try to become rich. And there's only 5% that happen to become rich. And if you're one of them, praise the Lord, I let you be one of them. But if you're the one that tries to become rich, that is wrong. That is wrong if you're trying to become rich. If the Lord does give you and He supplies and you become rich, there's nothing wrong. But you're in great danger. You're walking on very dangerous battlegrounds that you probably have to waste almost all of your life of energy just to fight the battles of not becoming, not falling into these snares that it's talking about here. Talking about snares, the root of all evil and all of that. You can waste all your spiritual warfare power that you have in yourself getting those, getting that warfare accomplished. That you still could be a Christian, if I could say. It's dangerous ground. But I really love this verse, the sixth verse here. But godliness with contentment is great gain. And that is true. We were talking about it recently. I met a brother. We mentioned this, the scripture there. And the story came to my mind. I've heard. And I'm not remembering the story from full, from beginning to end. But there was, I could say, in this level, a poor guy sitting by the seashore on the beach, fishing in his canoe, and a rich guy comes walking by, and he says, how are you doing? Why wouldn't you hire another guy to get more fish? And then the guy asks, so what then? What's the star in it? Okay. Or what's the hope in it? Oh, then you'd be able to have more guys to fish more fish. Okay, so what then? He was talking about climbing the ladder. So what then? Oh, well, then you could have a business and you could have a business running and you'd be up and have a better going. Okay, so what then? And then, oh, they just kept on going, what then, what then? And they said, oh, well, then you could have a vacation and you could go to the beach and sit down and relax. Oh, and he said, oh, well, that's where I am. And that's truly how filled we are often by running after riches. And that's why we should be content. And we often say, we often say with an honest heart, we are very blessed by the goods we have. And I think that is very, very true. But shouldn't we understand that we are very blessed? Shouldn't we understand that we are blessed? It's not, somehow that blessed slips in our mind. You know what I mean? That word blessed is like, we. The we is much higher in that we are blessed than that we are blessed. Because it has become property of ours by being blessed. I'm talking about myself. I mean, anyways, we are falling here and there. I'm not trying to pull lines. I'm just wanting to come to the honest of our hearts. Who are we? Where are we? And what are we here for? Coming back to what Jesus Christ did, He came down and I think we could start think, how could I step down? How could I be content? And I trust there's people that are here sitting and they've been walking through that and they know exactly what we're talking about. But how could I come to a lower level? There's another scripture. Ephesians 4, verse 28. It's a very common scripture and it is quoted often. I'm wrong. It's not the one that I was meaning, but I'll then go to this scripture. I have something to share about this one too, so I'll do it now. Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needed. That's a very, very short circle that this guy is instructed. Just stop steal, and then work so that you can give away. That ladder is not a very long ladder to climb until you're able to give away. You just stop stealing, and then you start working, which is understandable, so that you can give away. And then I'd like to read another scripture, Acts 7, verse 42. And I have changed three words in it. And they made income in those days and offered sacrifice unto the job and rejoiced in the income of their own hands. That's very common for us. We shouldn't make that to an idol. We do rejoice, we do make an income, and we do have a job. But we can idolize that, and then it could be because we're having that as our idol in our heart, and then we do it that way. Acts 5. Here, chapter 4, verse 32 to 37, we read about how the believers had all things in common, and some of those things, which is good. And we probably could read out how we should do things, but I tried to. I'm going over to chapter 5, and what was wrong? How in the world could Ananias lie to God? That's what it says. That's what happened. How would he have? How could he do that? Lying to God. We read the story and we know the story, and it's so common that we can just read the story as we've been reading a story. But what in the world did Ananias really do that he was able to lie to God? And it was a financial issue. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why had Satan filled thine heart to lie the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not done in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young man arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, now not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in and found her dead, and carried her forth and buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. A couple years ago, I just wrote a question there. Who is dead among us? Is somebody dead among us? Somebody dropped already in his spirit? There's a possibility that somebody could have dropped him dead because they've been lying to God. But there's also a possibility that we can be live in God. What are we? What can we do to lie to God? in some of these questions I'm asking myself just as much as anybody else, because how could I do that? These people, they just simply sold a piece of land, and by trying to keep it secret, that was the only thing I can see from the outside. They tried to keep some back, which Peter then plainly says, it was your choice, you could do what you want, it was all there, you didn't need to give it, so it was not the matter that they kept back anything, because that was open. Peter said, that's alright, you could have done that. So it was not that they did keep something back that was the lie, but what was then the lie that was a lie towards the Holy Ghost? How would I today lie against the Holy Ghost? I would like to close with this encouragement. I'm not quite sure I just simply wrote down, prepare to die today, not in the sense of being scared, but I think it is very, very important to live so that not sure if I have the right words. This is not a closed statement. It could be changed. But live so that the world could live without you. If you are tying yourself up with all kinds of commitments and all kinds of things that it is impossible for you to move out and be elsewhere, then prepare yourself as if you were dead, clean up all your issues and straighten out, so that if you be the one that would die, then there is not a whole pack of unknown things to be taken care of. Get yourself ready, clean up yourself, and be ready to move on. And that's a simple form of stating it. But then if you can make yourself ready to be portable, then the Lord will be able to see you. You are portable. And I think that is a very, very important part in this life, that we are not, that we should be able to be portable. We can die. We can die anytime. And if we can die, then we should be able to have our life so that we can die. Now, you know how to look at those issues. You know how your life is, but I believe that is very important. That we are ready to die, even with money issues. And I think, I trust that there's more wisdom in the group here than I have in those areas. So it's not that I'm trying to act as if I have wisdom. The part that I was thinking I had wisdom from the Lord was just to say that we need to be ready. Now, how to get ready, that's a different question. That I don't know how to do that. But I believe we should be ready. That's the part I'm trying to say. Now, you might have to find the answers outward and by me, because I'm not sure if I would have the answers. But I believe it is the wisdom from the Lord to be ready. And not tie ourselves up with all kinds of issues that we fertilize our gray hair roots. That's not good. I believe the Lord wants us to be able to live with joy and rest. And if we have things hanging around us that we are limited in our spirit, because of that, that's not good. I just want to encourage us to really look at our morning star and see if that is where we're going. And if that is where we're going, then just keep on pressing forward. And I believe that there's a handful of those that have really set a good goal in their life to go. I trust that there's those. And I just want to really encourage, if you feel rest and peace and you feel clean in it, then just press on. I would want you to be encouraged by this message. And if there's those that need, okay, well, I need to focus and refocus and get my things straightened up, then I would like you to do that. Yes, thank you.